Ladies and gentlemen, time now for your weekly edition of that fabulous favourite of the wireless. It's Mr. James Whale. And hang on, don't play a jingle yet. Can I just say to those radio stations who would like to have their own personal drop-ins, then they may. May I demonstrate? Ladies and gentlemen, listening to us via Nevis Radio, this is the James Whale Radio Show.
James Whale, the voice of reason on the James Whale Radio Show.
Hello, welcome to the programme. This is James Whale and Rob, the producer, is... where are you, Rob?
I'm over here.
Under the desk?
No, I'm here.
Oh, you're over there. All right, OK, good. I just thought for all those radio stations who would like some personal jingles, because we've signed up yet more, so you could well be listening on a radio station. Let's, for argument's sake, hello to Abscape Radio. Where's Abscape Radio?
Oh, that's a good question.
Well, you should know these things. I bet you that Nevis, hello Nevis, as I said, I bet you they're in Scotland.
Yeah, because obviously Nevis sounds like a mountain.
Well, may I just say for Nevis Radio that we have a real hot interview on the programme for you. I will be talking to the legendary Scottish actor James Cosmo, of course, known for Braveheart, many movies, but probably the thing most people get excited about James Cosmo for is Game of Thrones, right? If you've never seen Game of Thrones, you should. I'll be talking to James Cosmo in this programme a little bit later. But if you are a new radio station or an existing one, if you don't have your own personalised drop-ins, get in touch with Rob. This is Rob.
Yeah, I'm Rob.
Yeah. Email him, jameswhaleradio@gmail.com, and we'll tell you how you could get some drop-ins. Can you hear my dogs?
I can.
Right, I'm just going to, listen, stay with us, people. This is a live, well, it's live when I'm recording it. I mean, so therefore it is live, isn't it, Rob?
It is very live.
Am I able to walk around my house like this?
Yes, you are.
Yeah, okay. Now, look, guys, what is going on? What's going on? I'm just talking to Frisbee Dog. What's wrong, mate? Hey? What? What's wrong? Say again. Say hello to everybody. Go on. Yeah. Good boy. Now, that's enough. No, that's enough. Are you all right, Shag? Good. So I've got two dogs here, you see. I'm dog sitting at the moment while I'm doing the programme. I put the radio on another channel so you can listen to the music, and when we finish the show, we'll go out. Why do people talk to animals in that funny voice that they talk to children in? I've no idea. Sorry, Rob, what?
That's how you talk to me.
I know. Well, I think of you as a dog. Well, no, I think of you as a pet. I'm sorry, not a dog. I think of you more as a pet.
Thank you.
All right. It's amazing what you can do with a mobile radio studio, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah. So anyway, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the James Whale Radio Show. You may be listening via the auspices of talentgb.com. Check them out. You might have audio booed us. What else could you do with us?
Quite a lot. But I don't think they're broadcastable.
No?
No.
I think you should. You can get us online, of course, as you know. And check out, by the way, some of our old episodes, because they're good too, aren't they?
They're all good.
Yeah. You know, this show and all the others we've done is about a day's worth of programmes, including people like Boy George, Shane Ritchie and others as guests on the programme. Go to iTunes and search for James Whale Radio Show. Click subscribe, and believe it or not, it doesn't cost a thing. Or why not subscribe to our James Whale Radio Show YouTube channel? They're different places you could pick us up.
Lots of videos there.
Yep, lots of videos as well. But of course, as you know, at this time every week on your favourite local radio station, you can pick us up. You see, if I had a jingle for you, they could drop it in just about there. That would be clever, wouldn't it?
It would be clever, yes.
Yeah, so if you want to listen to old editions of the programme, you can do it there. Let's run a little competition, because I have got so many copies of my old autobiography that I want to give some of them away. I want to give away some signed copies. Can we do that?
We can do that, yep.
So let's do it. Let's, again, making money to keep the programme going, because I've got to pay Rob if nobody else.
Have you?
I've not paid you yet for 25 programmes, have I?
No.
That's because we haven't made enough money. If we do, of course, I will pay you. But at the moment, I'm sorry. You just, you're going to have to do it for the love.
Okay.
Yeah. And food parcels. Don't forget, that's very important.
Mars bars and Coca-Cola.
You do eat a crap diet. You know that, don't you?
It's the only thing I can afford.
Yeah. Okay. So if you would like a copy of my autobiography called Almost a Celebrity, I've got a load of copies in the garage. And so I'm going to give the first five people who get this question right. It's a text competition, okay? And it'll cost you 25p plus standard rate to enter. But hang on. It supports the whale program and all those baby whales, not to mention the dogs. And where can you get a book for 25p plus your standard rate?
Charity shops.
Yeah, yeah. Well, probably charity shop. This will be brand new, and it'll be signed as well. So this is the question. What was the name of my 90s TV show, which went out on a Friday night reasonably late everywhere? Okay. What was the name of the show? And there are three different names the show had during its nearly 10-year run. What was the name of my show? It's quite easy, actually. To enter, text the word whale, WHALE, to 81888. What's the number?
81888.
81888. So text the word whale to 81888. Of course, costs 25p plus standard rates. First five correct answers that we get in, we will send you a signed copy of... I've forgotten what the name of the book is. Almost a Celebrity.
That's the one, yeah.
Almost a Celebrity.
Terms and conditions are available at jameswhaleradio.co.uk/terms. Have to get that in.
Yes. Right, OK, so we're going to talk to James Cosmo later on in the programme, but there are things that we should address, some issues that we should address, I think, on the programme as well. And I put out on... Facebook, didn't we?
You put lots of stuff out on Facebook. What were we talking
about? I did. Last week, do you remember the big story last week was about the 30,000-year-old megavirus making a comeback after being frozen in a deep layer of the Siberian permafrost?
I remember now, yep.
Yeah, that was one of my favourite topics on the radio last week.
Okay.
Yeah, and thank you to everybody joining me, of course, every weekday morning for breakfast on BBC Essex. You don't have to live in Essex to listen. You can listen anywhere, of course, if you are fully integrated online. What?
Fully integrated online?
Yeah, isn't that a term that you could use, fully integrated online?
Well, most people say connected to the web.
Well, right, connected to the web, or get yourself an app. Get yourself a radio app and listen. BBC Essex, James Whale Breakfast Show from 6. And BBC Kent, by the way, Saturday morning, 10 o'clock until 2 in the afternoon. That's quite a fun show.
I've been on that.
You've been on that, yes. Yeah. But we didn't tell anybody who you were. Now, last week we did ask this... What?
What?
Did I hear my echo then?
Echo?
No, you just repeating what I said because you really want to be me.
Yes.
Yeah. What would you like to come back? 30,000-year-old megavirus coming back. Oh, dear. What would you like to get back? Gary Quilter. Did he tweet us or did he Facebook? I could never remember how you got in touch. Gary Quilter said, my girlfriend's virginity. I don't think you can get that back.
Can you not?
I don't know. I don't think so. Jason Sapford said, not the megavirus, that's for sure. Would love my grandparents to come back. Oh, that's rather sweet,
that's
isn't
nice,
it?
That's nice, yeah.
That's rather sweet. Zoltan says, the 1970s and the James Whale television show. Well, Zoltan, if you went back to the 1970s, you wouldn't get the James Whale television show because that was in the 1990s. Gary Leathers wants Michael Barrymore's career to come back. There's some very strange people over here. I can only surmise we have very strange listeners. Simon Calavides... I think he sold me a car once, known to his friends as Tom Tom. He wants the James Whale show back. Well, what the flipping heck do you think this is? Justin Griffiths wants Led Zeppelin. Andy Swan wants the legendary comic Bernard Manning to return. Kai, decent presenters on Talk Sport. I'm sure they've got a few. Graham White, The Crystal Maze with Richard O'Brien.
Ooh, I like that.
By the way, I also want my youth. What?
I like The Crystal Maze.
Do you know, we should get Richard O'Brien. I haven't spoken to Richard O'Brien for years. He'd be a great guest on the programme, wouldn't he?
Yeah, we'll sort that out.
Shall we?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd like to do that. Did I say we were going to talk dog poo today? Or not? Well, that was a story I did on the breakfast show in Essex. It's really strange. An Essex councillor decided he needed some notoriety. Well, all politicians want notoriety. So this one decided that he would go out and say if he found somebody not picking up after their dog, he would pick it up and he would post it back to the person who left it on the pavement or in the park. Which, of course, really made him not such a famous politician, but more a laughing stock when people said, hang on, that's against the law. You can't do that.
You've not got
a dog, haven't you?
No, I haven't got a dog.
Oh, you haven't? You were thinking of getting one, weren't you?
I talked you out of it. You talked me out of it, yeah.
Yeah. No, well, you know, you don't have time. You've got enough doing producing this programme. You can't have a dog.
And I can't afford the dog food, apparently.
You can't, really.
No.
You can't afford food for yourself until we get... actually, at this point, I should say, text us 81888, starting the text with the word whale. It doesn't matter what you text us. Just text us hello, or I want a shout-out or a mention, just because it contributes to the fact that we might one day be able to pay Rob a small pittance for producing the programme. 25 people are standard rate. I mean, that's not much to ask anyone, is it?
Yeah, two texts is a Mars bar.
Two texts is a Mars bar, for goodness sake. I mean, on the other hand, next week I might say we're not doing the show anymore because we haven't made enough money.
Oh, God.
I know, you'll be really fed up, won't you?
I'll have to go and join the doll.
The doll?
Yeah.
What doll? Oh, the dole! Yeah, no, I see what you mean. No, you won't get that.
I won't get that?
No, you won't get that because there's absolutely no evidence that you ever existed.
Oh, okay.
No, you won't get that at all. But we've got a couple of other ways you can help. Of course, advertising on the programme. If you want to advertise, get in touch, jameswhale@gmail.com. And you can find all sorts of ways. Do you know some people do this sort of cloud financing? Do you know about that?
Cloud financing?
Is it cloud financing? I don't know. Where they go on a website and say, send some money so we can keep the business going.
Oh, yeah, these are startup fundraising websites.
Yeah, yeah. Well, maybe we should do that.
Okay.
Failing that, I'll tell you how you can get free movies for a month and get a free book, including my own autobiography, but the audiobook versions. You can get a free one, and I'll tell you about that in a moment. Michael Ray, hello, Michael Ray. He wants to bring back Lucky Dip bags and 19 pence for a pint. I wasn't old enough to drink when pints were 19p.
Maybe it's milk.
Oh, yeah, maybe he drinks milk. Mm. Yeah, that's the point. Michael Oatham wants to bring back his hair, which is quite funny. And Phil Doyle, last one, I won't do any more. Phil Doyle wants to bring Charlie Chuck back. Charlie Chuck was a comedian that I like to think I discovered in some way. And if you go to our YouTube channel, you can see bits of Charlie there, can't you?
That's true, yes, sir. He's there.
Okay. Tell him where the YouTube channel is.
Just go to YouTube and search for the James Whale Radio Show channel.
Yeah, okay. Audio Burst, get us on talentgb.com. And, of course, get us from your local radio station, the radio station you're listening to, the James Whale Radio Show on at the moment.
You are listening to James and Rob on the James Whale Radio Show.
Right, I think it's time for the interview of the week.
Okay.
And there are three kinds of interviews that I do on this show or any other show, right? I interview people who are famous and interesting or decision makers. I interview people I can't stand. And I interview friends. And my guest today is, I like to call him a friend of mine. I've known James Cosmo for a number of years. And interestingly enough, you know, I meet lots of people, as you probably gather, from my love of toxophily.
Is that a sweet?
Archery.
Oh, yeah.
The gentle art of bow and arrow, the posh term for that, is toxophily. So, and James Cosmo is amongst a bunch of mates who we regularly go down and we practice field archery. It's an excuse, actually. My wife describes it as last of the summer wine with danger. It's not funny. And you will see, we post up some pictures of what we do in the woods occasionally. You see my new Twitter photograph?
Yes, I have. That's changed.
Yeah, that's me looking through the strings of a compound bow.
Oh, I thought it was you hanging out the washing.
You cheeky sod. Just before we talk to James, he's done loads and loads of movies. If you would like to get some of James's movies, if you go to our website, jameswhaleradio.co.uk, you'll see there Love Film, the Love Film banner. Now, if you click on the Love Film banner and if you follow the links of the Love Film banner, click on that, you can get a month of free movies, right?
That's right, yep.
And there'll be movies which James stars in and features in there. So you can go, if you've not seen James before, go and have a look at it. But James is a proper Hollywood movie star. Braveheart was one of his main films. And, of course, he's more recently been very well known for being in Game of Thrones. So shall we have a chat to the legendary James Cosmo? James Whale! James Whale! Now, James Cosmo is, of course, a household name. But the interesting thing, James, you've been an actor, well, practically all your life. How long have you been an actor?
I've been an actor. Now, I'm 66 now, and I started when I was 17. So work it out. It's nearly 50 years anyway.
And your dad was an actor as well, wasn't he?
He was. His name was James Copeland, and he was I suppose you could call him a jobbing actor. You know, he worked in the theatre quite a lot. The odd movie, quite lots and lots of telly. Yeah, so he made his living that way.
Didn't your folks try and talk you out of following in the family tradition?
Not particularly, James. You know, I left school quite young. I dipped out of school when I was 15 and went to work in the local shipbreakers in Clydebank as manual labouring, which I enjoyed to an extent. And then I thought that I'd like to try my hand at acting and hitchhiked down to London and from Glasgow and managed to get some work there. But the one advantage I did have was that with your father being an actor, you were well aware of the pitfalls and the downside of being an actor, which, you know, you can spend a long time out of work looking for work. It's constant rejection, you know, because every interview you go up, when you don't get it, you feel, you know, rejected. So you've got to sort of be quite strong in that respect, you know. So I knew about that through watching my father. So I suppose I was a bit forearmed entering the profession. And I think if you want to become an actor, there's nothing's going to stop you being an actor.
Did you, when you went to London, when you first started going around auditioning, did you go for the sort of tough guy parts then? I remember you, James, it's a long time ago, it ages me. I remember you in a film called The Virgin Soldiers, weren't you?
I was, yes, indeed. And that was the second film I ever did. But I had done a television show before that in which, would you believe, James, I played a choir boy. That was my first job, playing a choir boy in Dr. Finlay's Casebook. So it must have been a long, long time ago if I could have played a choir boy.
I remember Dr. Finlay's Casebook. What was the lady's name? Janet, that's right. Janet,
that's
the
right,
housekeeper.
Yes.
Well, I remember you in Virgin Soldiers, and if anybody wants to go back and Google it, I'm sure they can find the movie.
Yeah.
But you were very tall, and don't take this the wrong way, very thin, as I remember, with lots of red hair.
I was very tall and very thin, and I was also very wooden, as far as I remember. I've watched myself in early films and thought, how did this man ever progress to being at least competent in film? But there you are. It's it was a long time ago. That's my only excuse. And I have managed, you know, with a great amount of discipline to make myself slightly wider than I was when I started out.
Yeah, I'll tell people about why you're so wide and trying to make the rest of us wide later. tell me this, James. Don't take it the wrong way. You're not a household name, but
no.
Everybody recognizes you, and then quite often they can't recognize you or remember why they have recognized you. In a way, I think that's a compliment, isn't it? Because you play so many different characters with so many different voices.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, a lot of people think I'm, you know, is that the Bricky that built that wall for me or something? They sort of know my face and can't place it. But yeah, I've always, you know, I was never in the position of being a film star or someone that, you know, was in that position. So I was always, even when I was young, although I was sort of typecast when I was younger as the tough guy Scots thing, you know, because I was a big lad, you know. But as I got older, I sort of diversified more, and that's where the joy of acting for me certainly lies, in playing as many diverse characters as I possibly can. You know, I find that fascinating, you know, building a character and immersing yourself in that. I think that's where the true joy of being a character actor lies.
Well, you say you're not a star. You are. I mean, look at the movies you've been in. You're in Troy, one of my favourite movies. Mm. I'm sure everybody remembers you from oh gosh, what was the movie where all about the freedom, funnily enough, of Scotland?
Braveheart.
How could I forget Braveheart? I mean, how did you get the part in Braveheart for a start?
It was really interesting, James, and I always remember it so clearly that I was with my wife Annie, and we just had our first baby, a little boy Ethan, who's now a big lad of 20. But I was having, as actors do, you know, a very dry spell, and Annie was working at the BBC at the time, and I'd met Mel Gibson on one of these general meetings, they call them. You know, you just go in and you meet the guy. So I'd met him about 6 weeks before in a hotel for literally 5 minutes or so. And I remember it so clearly. We're living in a little studio flat and with the baby. And it was a Saturday night, 10:40. And the phone rang. And I said to Annie, whoever it is, I don't want to talk to them because it's too late. And she answered the phone. She said, "It's for you." I said, "Well, I thought I said I didn't want to talk to him." She said, "I think you will. It's Mel Gibson." And it was. And he was phoning from the States. And he'd looked at some of my showreel or stuff that I'd been doing, you know. And he said, "Hey, you know, do you want to come and be Campbell, Jimmy?" And, you know, it was a wonderful, wonderful moment, you know. And it's always stayed in my memory, you know. And it was the start of, it really kicked off my career. Because I was about 45 at the time. It really opened up my career in a huge way, and you know, it was one of the great films of that period, and I consider it still to be a great movie to this day.
I can't believe it's 20 odd years ago that Braveheart was.
Yeah, my little baby Ethan was just a babe in arms on the set, you know, so that was the first time he walked onto a film set, or he toddled onto a film set.
Did you ride horses before you made that movie?
Yeah, I'd done a few, you know, because of my stature and how I looked, I was often cast in that sort of swords and sandals sort of job, you know. So I was reasonably experienced in horses, but by the time I finished, I was very experienced on horses, which I love anyway. I love the animals, and it was a joy, you know, to work for all those months on such a prestigious film, you know. And it was a dream come true for an actor, you know, to play a wonderful part in a truly wonderful movie, you know. And to you really were, for those few months we were living the dream. It was just fantastic.
Let's talk a bit about the TV series, of course, you're probably best known for now, although you've been killed off, I'm afraid, in Game of Thrones. But before Game of Thrones, you've done a number of series, but in America.
Yeah, I did Sons of Anarchy out there. I did a season of that and different TV shows out there, which I enjoyed working on them immensely. It was great fun, you know, and we spend a lot of time out there, and we really enjoy it. But we're always drawn back to the UK because it's, you know, very much, you know, is our home now, you know.
Okay, but one, everybody wants me to talk about Game of Thrones. Now, when you were given the script, you did the audition for Game of Thrones, James.
Yeah.
Did you actually understand what it was all about?
No. I'm very unprofessional as far as that goes. You know, I'll tell you another story about how unprofessional I am when it comes to reading scripts and knowing what things were about. But and remind me to tell it to you, James. I was sent the sides, as they say, for a big speech that the character that they were thinking of me for, Lord Mormont, makes, all about he was the commander of the Night Watch. Who command the Northern Wall. And it was a big, long speech. And usually, you know, it was the day before, I remember, it came through, and they said, oh, you have to put this on tape tomorrow at the casting agents. And usually, you know, you have a look at it, and you say, oh, this way too much, you know, and I'll just read it off the page, you know, which is quite acceptable. They don't mind that, you know. But for some reason, I thought, no, I'm really going to work at this one. So Annie, my wife, very kindly sat with me and we went through it for quite a long time the night before. So I had it down, you know, I could really have had it down pat. And so I went in and read for them and it went extremely well, you know. And usually what happens in a especially in an American series, one as big as that, is that you... Once they think that you might be right for that part, then you go into the sort of the finals, if you like, where three or four of you go and you meet them and you all perform for them. And then they make their choice, which one is it going to be? But I was very, very lucky in so much that they just saw the tape of that and said, no, that's it. He's Lord Mormont, you know. And I was offered the part, which was just fantastic.
The only thing from watching, for people who haven't watched Game of Thrones, and of course you can get the box sets, and you can even download them, and I'll tell people how they may be able to get some for nothing later in the programme. I think it's great. It's great escapism. There's an enormous amount of violence in it and a huge amount of sex.
Yeah.
But unfortunately you didn't get much of the latter.
James, I spoke to my agent, I spoke to the producers. They were having none of it. You know, I could kill as many people as I liked, but as far as the sex side came, I don't know whether it was the actresses that refused to do it or it was in the interest of good taste, but I was never allowed to get anywhere near any young ladies. And that's, sadly, that has been the case throughout my career. I mean, I think it's the most appalling injustice that has been served upon me, but I have never played a romantic lead ever.
You know you've had a fairly hot steamy scene with Subu recently.
I did well, and that brings me to the story that I was going to tell you about my unprofessionalism as an actor. In so much as my agent phoned me and they said, they've offered you this part in a movie, very well paid, and I immediately said yes. and they said, oh, we'll get the script to you, and that was fine. They said, but the director wants to meet you for breakfast, you know, a very Hollywood thing to have breakfast with the director. So I went up the next week and met him, and we had a nice breakfast, and he kept on talking about Susan, and... eventually, my pretense must have become obvious because he said to me, do you know who Susan is? I said, well, I presume she's the lady that's playing my wife. She's an actress called Susan. And he said, Susan Boyle? And I said, no, I don't think. He said, Stars and Rise or whatever it is. And oh my God, it's Susan Boyle. I had no idea. And it was lovely because she was an absolute sweetheart. She's a lovely wee lady. And it was great fun working with her. But it just shows I had no idea. That's how unprepared I was.
You saw the bottom line, how much money it was, and you said yes.
Yeah, before they'd finished the sentence, really.
Well,
that's an actor, to be honest. But as they say, I can't do a part until I've read the check.
And how steamy was the kiss then?
I'm sad to say it was extremely chaste, James. Extremely chaste. I don't think Simon Cowell would have had it any other way.
I won't pursue that. Safe to say that, of course, in Game of Thrones, it's the dwarf who gets all the action, isn't it?
It's the who?
The dwarf.
Yes, and he's a lovely, lovely guy. Hugely talented, and it's wonderful to see, you know, an actor of diminished size really getting hold of a part and playing it so wonderfully well. But I mean, it's a dream part, you know. He's like, get all these women, just fantastic. But he handles it ever so well.
Is he an English actor?
No, he's American. Yeah.
When they said you were going to be killed off, yeah. I mean, it's not something new to you because I think you've been killed off in quite a lot of things.
Yeah,
James,
nearly all
you?
Of them. Yeah.
Did you mind? Did you say, oh, I'd love to do a few more series, or had it, as far as you were concerned, had it come to a sort of close?
Well, when they said I was going to get killed off, once I had stopped crying, I sort of accepted that was what was going to happen. Because obviously, you know, the character's in the book, and he does die, you know, in book three, I think it is, you know. So I knew that it wasn't going to last forever. But I did have my fingers crossed because it was such a lovely job to do. You know, I didn't have to work very hard for very long. And that suits me in everything I do. it was great fun. And we managed, you know, we used to film in Northern Ireland, which was terrific. And then up in Iceland, which was the most extraordinary country to film in, you know. I had a great time. And, you know, in Game of Thrones, I think nearly everyone gets killed off eventually.
Now, you go around the world going to Game of Thrones conventions quite often, don't you?
I do, yeah.
And is that as mad as the Doctor Who conventions?
Well, it's all sort of mixed in together. You get enormous amounts of people. I mean, the figures are extraordinary, James. You know, I went to one in Atlanta last year, and there were 60,000 people at this convention for 3 days. And they were all dressed up as characters, all of them. You know, like from Star Trek, from Doctor Who, from all sorts of sci-fi programs. There was guys dressed up in beautiful costumes of the Night Watch. Just 60,000 of them. They take over every hotel in the center of Atlanta. And the numbers were just extraordinary. And the same with one in Chicago that I went to. Just amazing, you know. And it's amazing to see, you know, people dressed up as Captain Kirk. The only difference being that they're 28 stone. And Captain Kirk wasn't quite that big. But it is extraordinary spectacle.
I remember meeting you for lunch a year or so ago. I don't know if you remember, in Leicester Square in London. And
yeah.
Usually I was a bit late. You were standing there. And by the time I arrived, there were lots of fairly young people wanting to get your autograph. It's made quite a difference, hasn't it?
Yes, indeed. And it's lovely to be associated with a show that has had such extraordinary success. I mean, the HBO seemed to have a magic formula as to what they get behind, you know. And they I think the thing is that they made such a wonderful job of the translation from the books to the series. Nothing is lost, you know. They really poured a huge amount of money into it, and it does look quite extraordinary.
James, let's conclude on a serious note. Are you up for that?
Yeah, by all means, yeah.
Let's talk about Scottish devolution.
Right. Yeah.
Do you want to talk about it?
By all means, yes.
Do you think it's a good idea or not?
I have always had a romantic ideal of Scotland being an independent nation. And I suppose Braveheart I know that Braveheart did have a huge effect in Scotland as far as making people aware of the Scottish identity. But I was very interested last week when Gordon Brown, who I fly no flags for him, but he did talk about Scotland having a much more devolved role within Great Britain. And I think the main thing was that, and which I'd always been an advocate, was that Scotland had its own taxation system. I think that would make a huge difference to Scotland, a much greater degree of autonomy. And I would like to see Scotland have more control over what happens in Scotland, even more control. And I do think that the Scottish Nationalists, with Alex Salmond, have done a remarkable job in Scotland. They have, they've worked very hard at addressing a lot of very serious problems that confront Scottish people, with the unit price of alcohol and health care and things. They've worked extremely hard with that. They're great with their university students. And I know there's all the economic arguments of where does this money come from? The nationalists saying, oh, it's Scotland's oil. That gives more than enough. And the English people saying, yes, but look what money that London and the rest of England generate that the Scots get. I'm really not wise enough to understand the economic arguments. But I do recognise the Scottish Nationalists have done a pretty spectacular job in Scotland. But I think possibly it would be well worth looking at that to give Scotland autonomy over the tax-raising powers, because I was at one time trying to generate more filmmaking in Scotland after Braveheart. And because the Scottish government can't do anything about giving tax breaks and things to incoming industries like the film industry, it makes it quite difficult for them. So I'm between two chairs there, James. I really understand about the heart of Scots people wanting to be independent, but when you're more hard nosed, you think maybe there's a way that we could tick both boxes.
I tell you what, I can guarantee if Scotland go the independent route, I think Braveheart will be re-released again in the cinemas.
Yes, and you know what? I was talking quite recently about that, but I never thought that Braveheart was about Scotland and England. And I think the reason that it had such resonance around the world and all sorts of different languages was that it's a film, and it's not a historically accurate piece. It's a romanticised piece of fiction in the main, because there's very, very little solid evidence that's about Robert the Bruce. I mean, most of it was written 100 years after his death, by folk storytellers. But it's about liberty, which is pertinent to everyone, in all countries, that people, demand freedom, individual freedom. I think that's what the film was about,
And what next for you, James? I mean, I was talking to Craig Fairbrass on this program last week, the week before.
Right.
And he said he's doing a movie with you.
Yes, we've just finished a film called Breakdown, in which Craig plays it's quite a action-filled movie set in London, and it's all bells and whistles. It really goes 100 miles an hour, and I play the boss of paramilitary assassination group, which was a lot of fun, and it was great to do. And Craig's son Luke was producing it, and it was lovely to work with him. But my next project at the moment is a one man film that runs for about half an hour that I'm doing, called The Pyramid Texts, which is something I've been hoping to do for quite a while. It's written by a guy called Jeff Thompson, who writes beautifully, and it's about an old boxing trainer. And I'm a very keen fan of boxing and boxing writing, so it's going to be an interesting exercise.
Well, James, thank you for that. Are we going to play Robin Hood at the weekend, maybe?
I sincerely hope so, James.
But what I didn't tell everybody about you is you love to cook, and he cooks the most amazing sausage rolls, and we go shooting.
I do. I might even make you some on Sunday, James.
I shall look forward to it. James, talk soon. Thank you.
My pleasure.
I've been working on a dream. It's a vision that I've seen. To be blinded by be racing in the streets where the heavens and hell meet. We'll be proving it.
There we are. That was a band called Coast. You're listening to the James Whale Radio Show from your favourite local radio station, or online, or on Audioboo, or iTunes, or wherever. And that was called I Wanna Sing With The Boss. Find out more about them at coast-official.com. And if you're in a band, or if you sing, if you've got some music you'd like to share with us, can't promise to put it on the programme, but get in touch. Get in touch with the radio station you're listening to Or, of course, you could email me, jameswhale@gmail.com. Is that the right one?
That's right, yep.
Are you sure?
Yep.
All right. Thanks to James Cosimo again. He's a great guy and makes fabulous sausage rolls. He does. He makes these brilliant... In fact, I'm not sure whether I put a picture of him. He made some great sausage rolls for my birthday last year. And we all congregate at this archery club. It's a field archery club. So that means it's in a wood. It's like playing Robin Hood, basically. And seeing Cosmo out there, you think you are back in the Middle Ages. But he cooks food. And he loves meat. He makes burgers and he makes... When I say sausage rolls, they're not these little twee things. They're like the size of your arm.
Wow.
I suppose it's a sausage roll meets a meatloaf.
Meatloaf.
And after we've spent a couple of hours going around this course shooting arrows at pictures of animals on targets... no real animals get hurt, by the way, just in case you get upset. We come back, we sit round in the woods... talk rubbish and eat sausage rolls. It's a manly thing. Anyway, don't forget, if you want to get some of the movies James Cosmo's been in, go to our website, jameswhaleradio.co.uk. You can see lots of stuff on there as well. iTunes channel. Where's the iTunes channel?
Well, you go to the iTunes store and you search for James Whale Radio and all the shows will be there.
Yeah, you can listen to every show we've done. But if you want to get free movies, go to the website, click on the Love Film banner, follow the links, register, and you can have a month of free movies, which is pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
Are we going to do the competition this week or not?
Which competition? We've already done the competition.
Well, we did a text competition. Should we leave it at that? Yeah, let's leave it at that, shall we? Because otherwise it'll get confusing, won't it?
Yeah.
So the competition this week is on the text only. You can get a copy. First five correct answers to this will get a copy of my autobiography that's called...
I Was Once Nearly a Celebrity.
No, Almost a Celebrity.
It's close enough.
And it even takes you through the really tragic times of me being got rid of by Talk Sport. Something that I haven't felt I could talk about before. First five correct answers, you get a signed copy of the book. All you have to do is to enter the competition is text the answer to this question. What was the name of my 90s TV show? You can find it online. It's easy. I might even have mentioned it already on the program. What was the name of my 90s TV show? There were three different names. It had three different sort of incarnations. So any one of them, the first five correct, will get a copy of the book. Text your answer to 81888. Text the word whale and then your answer to 81888. The number is?
81888.
Write this down, 81888. Text will cost you 25p plus standard rates. And listen, you're funding the program. If you don't enter the competition, I might actually have to start charging a licence fee for you to listen to it.
Wow. I know you're working for the BBC, but that's going a bit far, isn't it?
Just thought, I wonder how we could get ourselves in. Did you see what the BBC are doing? And I couldn't believe it. The BBC have given that appalling bloke, what's his name, the Frankie Boyle. I find him really, totally appalling. And they've given him his own programme again, but only on BBC Online. Well, when I say only, online is the future, isn't it?
It is the future, I'm afraid, yes.
So when I get in next week, I'm going to ask the boss if I can have an online show as well.
We're doing one now.
You know, but we could do a TV show online for the BBC.
Oh, yeah, of course we can.
We could call it BBC Whale. What?
That's very close to BBC Wales.
Yeah. Do we want to talk about Wales or not?
No.
Okay. I am half Welsh. Do you want to talk about that?
Which half do you want to talk about?
The half that doesn't speak Welsh.
Okay.
Shall I move on, or do you want me to talk about that?
No, you can move on. Thank you very much.
Other big story this last couple of weeks has been about school meals. All children aged between 5 and 7 years old in England will get free school meals from September this year, I think. This coming September. Good idea or could the money be better used? What are your thoughts? I put this out on Facebook earlier this week. Vicky Oakley, I've had to think about this. Shall I share it with you, first of all?
Yeah, go on then. I won't tell anyone.
Okay, let me share this with you. One of the reasons why, this is a Nick Clegg idea, by the way, it's going to cost nearly £1 billion, and he thinks it'll make people think he's a good guy. One of the reasons they want to do it is because they say that quite often the only proper meal some children get is at school. Let me just put this out there for you to think about. If that is true, if those people who have children only ever give them or don't feed them properly, the only good food they get at school is, should they be getting courses in parenting? Should those children be taken into care, rehomed or whatever? Should they be made to look after their children properly? Rather than giving free food to everyone, maybe we should actually be honing in on those people who are not capable of bringing a child up, shouldn't probably even be allowed to have a guinea pig. Discuss.
Text whale followed by your message to 81888.
Yeah. Starting the text with the word whale. I see. Do I detect from this you don't give your child proper food?
We send my child with pack lunch.
Oh, right. Well, in some schools don't want people doing that. They said pack lunches aren't good for kids. Vicky Oakley, anyway, on this topic, and if you want to continue to get in touch, as Rob said, good way to get in touch, just text us, 81888, start your text with the word whale. Vicky Oakley says, well, from what I have read, it's going to be a sham, parents having to volunteer to help prep all this food. That's another point that rather strange politician said, well, you know, parents can get down to the school and help do this. Really? Do you not think that parents might have something else planned for their days? Kids eating at 11 a.m. It's just going to be ridiculous. Cold food being served. I can see it all going completely wrong. So much so, when my kids were in primary school, I gave them a packed lunch. Oh, must be a friend of yours. This is only going to get worse. Priority should be given to those kids where it will be their only decent hot meal of the day. Those kids are going to suffer big time the way this is going on. Well, that's, of course, Vicky, why they're bringing this in. But the interesting thought is, if there are children out there who are not being fed properly by their parents, why aren't we addressing that and doing something about it? David Heath says, cheeky little things. Next thing they will ask the taxpayer to pay to teach them how to read and write. Oh, good one, Dave. Mark Harrop says, if the food is well balanced and healthy, it could help long term. If it educates kids to eat properly, it could have an impact on future health care, e.g. obesity, diabetes, etc. But it has to be healthy. I would agree with that, Mark. But I would also say that that is the parents' job to do that. And if parents, people having children, let's put it that way, are not capable of doing that properly, then perhaps they shouldn't be parents. Another thought for you to think about. Karen Bowman, hello. Karen says, no, not a good idea at all. My mother and father had to pay for my school meals. They had to find the money from somewhere. I don't see why they feel the need to give children free meals now. I agree with assisting those families who are less fortunate financially, but it shouldn't be for everyone. Where will the money come from to fund this? The local council? The school itself? The government? Who ultimately pays? Well, we pay, Karen. We pay. And, of course, there's all this sort of talk of, oh, we'll tax people who are earning over £150,000. We'll put a tax on bankers' bonuses. But if you look at the breakdowns, I don't think it's going to generate enough money. And it's just a ridiculous idea. If people can't feed their children properly, we should be addressing that problem, not just saying we're going to give all children under the age of 7 who are at school free school meals. Annie Crow says, families on low income already get this. As a mum of 3, I'd much rather pay and the money be invested in giving them decent food rather than getting it for free. Liz Savage says, why don't they give primary kids free milk again? Trenna Adams says, my daughter's school meals sound really nice as we get a menu, and I really do think it's a good idea, as like someone said, it could be the only good thing a child gets to eat that day. Pete Skinner says, in this day and age, there is no need for this. Feeding school children on books, heating, repairs and staff is ridiculous. So there we are. Your thoughts, if you want to include them, and we'll put a few out. Actually, what we could do, we could put a few out, couldn't we, on our website?
We could.
For people to read. On our Facebook site as well.
Mm. Well, these are already on Facebook, aren't they?
Well, they are on Facebook. Yeah, you're absolutely right. I'm reading off Facebook. But if you wanted to see them, we could put them elsewhere where people would see them.
Okay.
Are you interrupting me again?
I just a stupid comment, that's all.
It was really, wasn't it?
So I'll take that
don't
out.
Don't do it again. No, don't do it. Don't flip and do that again. Honestly, you'll be taking over the programme before long, won't you?
Uh-huh.
That's just not on. I beg your pardon?
Let's wrap up with an Audible ad and say goodbyes.
Have I not done an Audible ad yet?
No. Done two.
Did I do an Audible ad?
You did Love Film twice.
Did I really? That was naughty of me. If you would like to get a free audiobook, and you could choose my free audiobook, go to our website, jameswhaleradio.co.uk, click on the Audible link, and you can get a free book. Was that good enough for you?
That's fine by me.
Are you sure?
That's fine by me, as long as you got it covered.
I did. I said go to our website, jameswhaleradio.co.uk, click on the Audible link.
Yep.
And download any audiobook you want. You can, of course. You could get The Butterfly Boy, because that's another book that I did the audio version of. I didn't write it, by the way. It's a good book, though. It's a good book. I spent a week recording that. And, of course, my own book, I've read out loud. We've had quite a few people download that, haven't we?
We have. They're asking, when are you going to do the next book?
Well, we thought, Rob and I thought we might do the last 10 years. Or 10 years after coming out of hospital after having cancer. Might do something like that. What do you think?
We can certainly do it. It's just whether people want to listen to it.
Well, get in touch. Text us, 81888. Tell us whether or not you... you've got to start your text with the word whale, by the way. If you text 81888 and you don't put whale, it goes somewhere else.
Someone else gets my Mars bar.
Yeah, someone else will get his Mars bar. And that's a story, but that's probably for another time. So thank you to everybody for tuning in this week. We'll be back same time, same channel next week. And if you want to get in touch, let us know who you'd like to hear on the programme, guests, topics. If you've got music, get in touch. If you're a radio station, you would like us to do some premium jingles for this show, for your station, and some trails for you to play in the week. We'll tell you how that could be done as well. But in the meantime, have a great week. Join me on the BBC during the week for breakfast at BBC Essex, or, of course, at the weekends, BBC Kent, from 10 o'clock on a Saturday morning. And sometimes you even hear Rob on there.
Am I allowed to be on there, or am I to have to use a fictitious name?
Oh, I think fictitious name is always the way to go.
Okay.
Have a good weekend. See you soon.
Bye.
James Whale, the voice of reason on the James Whale Radio Show.
You're listening to the James Whale Radio Show. For more information, visit www.jameswhaleradio.co.uk. Why not check us out on facebook.com/JamesWhaleRadioShow? Or follow James on Twitter @TheJamesWhale. James Whale, the voice of reason.